Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be in the world. This is Larry Elliott, Blog Talk Radio. We're so glad that you're with us today. We have a very special guest. We're going to be chatting with a little later, Dr. Joanne Barnes. About having her on the air live with us. We also would like to remember the people that are in Haiti and say a prayer for them because they're having some tough challenges. So I want to bring Dr. Joanne Barnes on the air right now. Joanne, are you with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Where you are. How are you today, Larry?
I'm doing just outstanding. I tell you, I am so glad to have you on the air with us live. We're tweeting out and listening and talking to people from all over the world. And, Jane, I would like for you, if you would, to just to tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you practice there in Los Angeles, California. And the thing that I really like about you and your approach is that you are an out-of-the-box thinker. You know, your approach is somewhat different than most therapists. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a licensed psychologist, and I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I am in Los Angeles, the west side, close to the beach, Brentwood, if people know that area. I'd like to think I'm an out-of-the-box thinker. I have a lot of education, 11 years, and did a lot of research and learned a lot about science and use it. But when I'm in my office, Larry, I just listen to people with my entire being and kind of, it's interesting if I can back, the music I heard coming on was Michael's. And
right.
Michael Jackson, you know, if you saw that recent This Is It documentary, he was so much about feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in the office, I can feel it. And my patients tell me that I'm very intuitive. In fact, some of them get a little spooked that I might be kind of psychic. But
well, what you do, you
don't
really
think I'm
listen.
Psychic.
To...
I just really listen, trust my intuition,
mm-hmm.
and go with that with somebody versus having an agenda and
mm-hmm.
trying to categorize them into some diagnoses.
So I guess what you really do is to actually help all of your patients to get in touch with their full expressions, to get in touch with themselves. Am I correct?
That's what I hope to do. I think most of the people, I have a little Lily chameleon on the little table between two chairs that I use.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the patients I see have become chameleons, meaning, you know, out of survival, they just do whatever they can to survive and not get in trouble and avoid conflict, but they're not being true or real or honest with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they end up feeling, it's called a false self, and they end up feeling pretty empty and lonely and depressed.
Ah, I see. Let me ask you a question here before we start taking some calls and some of the tweets. We've got several tweets that are coming in as we speak. You can email us at elliot21us@yahoo.com. Also, if you would like to give us a call us at 347-205-9429 anywhere in the world. We're talking to Dr. Joanne Barnes, a noted psychotherapist who practices there in California. And the people that are out on the West Coast in Southern California, I highly recommend that you give her a call because we're going to get her contact information here in a few minutes. And Dr. Barge, I think your number is 310-472-2329 there on the West Coast. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Great. So I recommend that they give you a call. We have a question here from a young man. He is 42 years old.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Andrew. And Andrew has, according to him, he has a severe problem here. He just found out that his wife, they've been married, he said, for 22 years. He just found out that his wife was having an affair with not only one guy, but four guys. And he happened to check the phone, and he started doing some research, did the PI thing, and he says that he's just flabbergasted. He don't know what to do, how to do it. He wants to know, is there any way that this relationship can be rebuilt and the trust rebuilt?
Wow. Well, I'm sorry for that. That's pretty hard to take. You know, marriage counseling typically doesn't work, but that's because, or it's known to not work. It has that reputation. It's because people wait too long to come in when they're having problems. But I've worked with people that were completely filed for divorce and living separately. I could barely stand in the room with them. They were so angry at each other. And they came back together with the most beautiful of relationships. So I think anything can be salvaged if the two people want that. Sounds like he might. I don't know if he's still in shock. Is he on the line or what?
No, he just tweeted the question in. He's tweeting as we speak.
I'm old already, so yeah, I don't understand all these tweets and things yet. not that old, but kind of.
So there is hope then, huh?
If he's in shock, he's in shock and probably a lot of pain, and he may not know whether he really wants it or not himself. But if he does, if she's willing to work with him, sure. I absolutely believe they can be helped. Do you know where he's from?
Yes, he is from Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay. I don't know any therapists there, but I'm sure there's some good ones. And usually you can go to the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapists and ask for a recommendation in your area.
Okay. Well, that's great. Andrew, I certainly hope things work out for you and your spouse. You know, Dr. Barge, it appears now that this, I guess, adulterous relationship is becoming a thing of the norm. Look at the Tiger Woods situation. Look at the Tiger Woods situation and the things that he and his wife is going through now. Let me ask you a question. What is, in your field, what is considered attachment and loss? What is that?
Well, you are asking me a lot of questions at once. So you want me to go with the attachment and loss or the Tiger Woods thing?
Just take it the way you would like, because we got several tweets that's coming in here. We got something on Facebook that somebody want to ask as well.
Okay, well, you know, it's related. I think I can pull it in that way. Tiger Woods, I don't know the man. I wasn't one of the women, and I don't know anything about him except what I've read.
Right.
And it seems to me that his attachment, there was an attachment issue, some loss along the way, because God bless his father, I don't know, you know, but it seems like he was so talented, so young, and he became such a little star that he actually never really developed his full real self. He developed a false self. He was
kind of like Michael Jackson, maybe? Maybe like
Pardon
Michael
me?
Jackson? Kind of like Michael Jackson?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And absolutely. And,
interesting.
You know, when you are, they're not the same two people, but yeah, everything becomes about your stardom and you're loved for that and you believe you're loved for that and you never have the opportunity to really develop fully whoever you really are. It gets complicated, so I don't think I can explain it all in this 30-minute interview, but ideally, in a childhood, you have a lot of time to experiment with who you are, and your parents support you, and you get to develop a full, real, strong self. If not, you have a false self, which means you're constantly trying to be what you think everybody wants and expects, and that's really empty. You constantly have to be pumping it up. You have to go find ways to pump it up. Well, Tiger Woods had a lot of ways to pump it up. I think he was a really lonely, empty guy, even though he had the best stuff from the outside. I think what he's doing is great, by the way. I was a little annoyed with that pic. There was the picture that somebody found, paparazzi, and said, oh, look at him. That's the whole point. Look at him. He looked great. He was just being himself. And that told me he's really doing the work he needs to do. Because you need to dig deep and get down and dirty with who you really are. You know what?
Hey, we got a Facebook question in here, Doctor, from Joanne. Joanne's in Toronto, Canada, and she was listening to
great.
You. She was listening to you about this Tiger Woods thing, and so what she wanted to know is that how many just ordinary people are empty like that and really do not know it? In your practice, do you come in contact with people who are really just kind of like empty? They're going through some things that they really do not know how bad off they are.
I'm sorry. That's, well, yes, but you got to understand that people come to me because they do know. I don't know it's how bad off they are. It's just they know they don't feel good. They're not making, their relationships aren't working. They're depressed. A lot of times they have some form of addiction that they're using to soothe themselves and pump them, you know, medicate themselves with. And they don't understand why. And they've never really had an opportunity to get in touch with who they really are, what their values are, what they really like or don't like, what they want. You know, I hope I'm explaining it well.
Well, you are. It makes a lot of sense because a lot of people, Doctor, are really living in a false world. You know, we see the media, what the media want us to be. We see family members, what they want us to be. And we really do not know who we are. And that's kind of sad. Let me ask a question. Psychotherapy, what is it? What's the definition of it?
Well, it's a therapy for the psyche. It's actually, it's a little different than counseling. Counseling is like you have a you come in and you identify the problem, you find a solution. It's pretty short term. Psychotherapy is more about the narrative, talking out with someone that is licensed and studied this and can figure things out that you can't or your friends can't, and will notice things that nobody else would, and it's all confidential, and you just talk, and it sounds silly just talking, but it's talking in a completely different circumstance than any other, and through that narrative process, you begin to realize, well, we all have a story we tell ourselves about ourselves. We all do.
Right.
And a lot of times that story has, you know, it has some real events and experiences in it that make us believe it, but it's all in the interpretation, and a lot of times the story we tell ourselves about ourselves is not true, and in talking it out, we can rewrite it. It's a kind of reorganization of one's psychology, if you will.
I see. Well, let me ask you this, Doctor. You say talk it out. Why couldn't someone maybe go to their best friend, or maybe go to someone at church, or someone within an organization that they trust and really like, and talk it out with them? What's the difference?
Well, if it's just a simple problem that might be identified and resolved with some solutions, like in counseling, sometimes that will work. However, you know, there's three factors that are different. One is your best friend probably doesn't have the education and the experience to identify what's really going on. They see it from their perspective, and they mean the best, but they're just not educated to see it. Second.
And have not been trained.
No, they're not trained, yes. We
My
master's was 2 years. My doctorate was six. You have to have 3,000 hours of experience supervised before you can even sit for the boards. So.
Wow.
And then I don't even think you're any good. You're about 5 years into it. Because it just takes a lot of it is experience, but whatever.
I see.
You know, and then you have the issue of confidentiality. Like it or not, mm-hmm. if we're honest, most of us gossip a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be mm-hmm. nasty, but just, oh, did you know? Oh, poor mm-hmm. guy, his wife's having an affair with four different guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, what can we do to help
yeah.
him? So that doesn't happen. It shouldn't anyway. It's not supposed mm-hmm. to happen. You have laws and ethics that protect you mm-hmm. once you enter that room. It's all confidential. We're not even allowed to say you are a patient.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this.
There's one other thing.
Sure, okay. Go ahead.
I think probably the most important thing after that is that friends have agendas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe,
I agree with that.
Maybe, Larry, you and I, we double date, and I really like your wife, and mm-hmm. my husband. The four of us go out a lot, and then it looks like you're going to want a divorce, and mm-hmm. I don't want you to get one because it's mm-hmm. going to change my social life.
Right.
Our children play together, whatever.
Mm-hmm,
if you're friends,
mm-hmm.
you usually have some agenda, and it's really hard to rise above it.
I see.
Therapist doesn't usually have an agenda. They shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Sometimes I'll tell mm-hmm. somebody that comes into my office, you can see the look on their face at first, but they'll come in for marriage counseling. I'll say, you know, I really don't care whether you stay married or not.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's right to the point.
No, I don't. Because mm-hmm. all I really care about is helping them discover what's going on. That may not be very Christian or something, but, you know, it's not my job. I'm not God. My
mm-hmm.
job is to help them figure out what's going on here,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
what's wrong, can we fix it, do we want to fix
mm-hmm.
it,
mm-hmm.
do we not? And then let mm-hmm. them decide, come to their
mm-hmm.
own conclusions. And whatever makes them healthiest and happiest is what I want.
Okay.
Not, you know, to put something
right.
together that may not be good for them.
I understand.
So therapists don't have agendas. Those are three really good reasons.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, if you would, give us your contact information. Then I want to get back to this this first tweet we had with Andrew, because you just brought out some very interesting things that I think that affect him. If you would, give us your contact information, website, how people can contact you, not only in Southern California, but all over the world. Larry Elliott, WFYT, Blog Talk Radio. We're on air live now with Dr. Joanne Barge, a licensed practicing psychotherapist in Los Angeles. So if you would, give us your contact information.
You mean my website, Larry?
Yes, please. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, it's www.drbarge.com,
mm-hmm.
but doctor is just D-R, no period,
mm-hmm.
abbreviated without a period, and then barge is like a boat, B-A-R-G-E.
Okay.
.com.
Got you. All right. And that phone
or
number,
you can Google Joanne Barge, and it'll come up.
Okay, good.
See, I have a website that has a lot of stories on it and my mm-hmm. credentials, and I think a pretty good feel for me. I've been told that. That was my great. Attempt.
Great. Yeah,
so people know
the
what they're getting into before they come.
Right. I looked at the website, Doctor, and it's a very comprehensive, very good site and very navigable. And you also can reach her at her office there at 310-472-2329. That's 310-472-2329. Doctor, let's get back to this first tweet that we had. We got several. I tell you, we may have to do another interview because this is so intriguing. Now, listen, Andrew, out of Louisville, Kentucky. Now, his wife, as he said, had four affairs on him, been married 23 years. He's recently found out about it. And she's been doing this for a while, and he said it was well calculated, very well covered up. Now, with the wife, if she gets counseling, would it help her, or should both of them maybe go see a psychotherapist together?
Well, it's a hard question, Larry, because I don't know if she has. For example, let's just suppose, and I don't have a reason not to, that Tiger Woods really loves his wife.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he was trying to hurt her, but mm-hmm. he needed pumping up. He needed inflating. He needed to feel good because of a false self. That's my take on it. I could be incorrect. Then psychotherapy would help her. Mm-hmm. However, usually in relationships, there's a reciprocity.
Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Well, we respond to one another. And mm-hmm. it could be that there were things that she really needed from him, and
mm-hmm.
she felt lonely in the relationship. She wasn't getting what she needed. I don't know anything about their relationship, if he traveled a lot or, like mm-hmm. one patient I had, she kept, I thought, oh, Lord. She had everything going for her and a great husband, but she kept running off with the gym guy, the trainer or something, you know, and actually mm-hmm. has ended up divorced. But she uh-huh. just didn't have the connection she needed with him.
Mm-hmm. But does that mean, doctor, that she did not love him while she's doing all these different things to Andrew? Does that mean she does not love him? Does she still love him and do the same thing? That makes no sense.
She could love him but feel lonely. She didn't leave him.
Hmm. Boy, this is deep.
She
this
could
is
be mad at him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, most marital trouble starts with the beginning. And this is sad, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I wished I had a forum for it, and I guess I do right now, so I'll say it. Most marital trouble starts at the beginning of the birth of the first child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You go from being all romantic, you're just a dyad, you have your Keontae, walks on the beach, blah, 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 and then suddenly, and you're excited to be pregnant, but suddenly you've got spilt milk, diapers, you're up all night, and guess what? You're a triangle.
Right.
And triangles are very difficult to negotiate, and then you can't negotiate an infant.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, mm-hmm. it's usually dads that feel left out and jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
then, you know, I'm not saying that they're doing anything wrong. It's a perfectly normal, natural feeling. But a lot of guys will feel like, oh, I want her to be a good mother. I want my son or daughter to have the best of mm-hmm. care. What kind of a man can I be to feel these feelings? And so they suppress them.
Mm-hmm.
And in
mm-hmm.
the suppression of them, they get more resentful. They go out to work more. They sometimes start drinking more, going out with the guys and drinking. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
they have an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in one case I had, the guy got really sarcastic. Oh, he was really mean. And she didn't understand why he was being so mean to her all of a sudden. Just sarcastic
mm-hmm.
remarks.
Mm-hmm.
And they did almost break up.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't done.
Well, why was she mean to him? Because she was in an affair with somebody else and she resented
no,
him?
He was mean to her and they just had a child.
Ah, got it. Okay.
And he was jealous because he was left out.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of knowing that and understanding it was a normal feeling and her understanding that that might be what was going on, they typically, this is typical, they start fighting about, they didn't know what they were fighting about. You know, they were fighting over other things. It wasn't what they were really fighting about.
I see.
What I mean. So. But they came in and we got it all resolved and they're back together.
Wonderful.
Very happy.
That's wonderful. Here's a question from a Facebook individual. She did not want to give her name, but she did give the city that she is in.
Yeah, come on, your name.
She is in Sacramento, California.
Okay.
And here's what she wanted to know. She said, even though things may be going well in her relationship, in order to keep it going well, would you recommend someone having a psychotherapist just as if you would a barber or maybe a beautician, just to keep you balanced?
Well, I don't think that sounds like a bad idea. It's the first time I've heard it. She must be brilliant. She ought to put her name out there. I've never heard of that, but that's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
there are people who have come in to see me, been helped, and then sort of come in like, well, baby checkups or something from time to time, but I've never heard of anybody retraining one. But that's a great idea.
You know, it really it is, and it appears, too, that couples that know sometime in a marriage, someplace you're going to have some type of a problem, and things may be good today, doctor, but they may not be good tomorrow. So in order, I guess, her name is Myrna. She just gave her name. Her name is Myrna, and she said she appreciates you, thinks that she's brilliant, too.
Well, that's a brilliant
that.
Idea.
Guess, you know, that's almost like preventive medicine, I suppose, huh?
Well, you know, the other thing that I highly recommend, and rabbis, I'm not Jewish myself, but rabbis have sent me, I don't even know where they got my name, but they've sent me, and I applaud them for it, couples for premarital counseling to make sure you have the same image of what it's going to look like and the same role expectations. And so it's a little bit along those lines. Relationships are inherently conflictual. They're just inherently conflictual.
Wow.
They are.
Okay.
You got to really work on them. You got to stay open and communicating.
I guess, doctor, what happens, so many people just shut down. When there's a conflict, they shut down. They stop communicating. You go your way, I go my way. The next thing you know, we got problems. And sometimes, I guess, the problems are so huge that it's kind of hard to fix it. Is that correct?
Well, you're correct about people shutting down. If they shut down long enough, the problems can become so huge. You know, as I said earlier, marriage counseling has a reputation of not working, and it's, for the most part, correct because people wait too long. They wait. They keep thinking it'll be okay, and they can do it themselves, and they wait too long.
But doctor, listen now. Here's the deal. Here,
I'm a blabbermouth.
Somebody goes out and cheat on some. Someone goes out and cheat on his spouse. No, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're a great interview. Let me ask you this now. Someone goes out, they cheat on their spouse, and how in the world can someone trust that individual if you've been cheating for 30 years and been with four or five different individuals? You go to the mall, you tell your wife or husband, I'm going out for 2 hours. How do you deal with that?
It's going to be really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a one-time thing. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really hard. But I think if you're in counseling together and you come to understand the other person, you have empathy, understanding, and reconnect, I think you know. And then you start to know the person in a different way, and you know if something feels off. And but sometimes it's real hard to do.
I see. Now, we got another question here. I guess this is from Jim. Jim is and let's see, he's in some part of Texas. Jim is in Corpus Christi, Texas. And he's listening to this. He said he's never experienced anything like this at all. But his question is this. If someone cheats like that, and he and his wife are intimate, and he has these images in his head of what happened maybe with his wife and this other guy that she had the affair with, how in the world do you get those images out of your head? That's a good question.
Very difficult. Very difficult. You know what? I honestly tell people who cheat, like, don't tell your spouse. Let's get to work this out and fix it. Let's fix the marriage. Don't tell your spouse. But I'm talking about, like, one man I saw was engaged, loved the woman. He was on business. Somebody kind of got seduced. He felt so bad about it, and he didn't know what to do. He was really beating up on himself. I said, do not tell her. Don't tell her because it'll be hard for her to get it out of her mind.
We got less than 20 seconds, doctor. We're going to have to continue this because this is so interesting. We got several people we didn't even get to.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Joanne Bartsch, licensed psychotherapist in California, Los Angeles, 310-472-2329. And our website is www.drbarge.com, lowercase. And we also recommend that the people there in Southern California be sure to give her a call, because this is a very, very, very interesting subject. Dr. Bartsch, we're going to have you back on the air sometimes that you are available, because we did not get through all of the questions and phone calls we got here. But maybe can we get you back on the air sometime in the near future?
Well, I'm flattered, and thank you for listening.
Well, I
didn't
just
know that I had
you.
That much to say, but I really didn't.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Bars, for what you have done and how you are helping people there in the Southern California area. And we wish you well to be able to get you back on air, okay?
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Radio. Larry Elliott, Block Talk Radio, and you'll see the other spot.